Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Right, so tonight we will be continuing to talk about, you know, the series on sonship. And sonship is really all about what does it mean to be a son. And tonight I want to talk about this aspect of obedience, because obedience is really part and parcel of being a son. Right, when you seek to be a son, right, that involves us learning how to be obedient as well. Right, and there's no better example, right, when we learn to look at obedience, to look at the example of Jesus. Because if you really think about it, Jesus is the perfect son. Now, I know we all say that Jesus came, alright, to die on the cross for our sins. But other than coming to save us, Jesus is here to demonstrate for us what it means to be a son. And you know, just now we were just really wanting to come back to this place of understanding, alright, what it means to be a child of God. We were here just enjoying His presence and His goodness. And I believe this is how God is drawing us. Tonight He's wanting to reveal Himself to us. Right? Jesus wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to show us that He too, alright, was a son to the Father. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. It's also on the screen. Right, very interesting. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, it says, who in the days of His flesh, referring to Jesus, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was hurt because of His godly fear, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He had suffered. So Jesus, though He was a son, but He has to learn obedience. And by His own example, He demonstrated for us that sonship involves learning obedience. Now, what exactly does it mean? All right, how did Jesus go about learning obedience? So, if you look at the passage we just read, actually it provides a context for us, right? Jesus learned obedience. In that particular instance, He learned obedience through suffering. Now, if you read it, you realize that actually this correlates to another part of the Bible, right? A particular instance of the life of Jesus. Do you all know what is it? Alright, it's actually the time when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying just before He was betrayed, alright? So let's look at Matthew chapter 26. In verse 39, it says, He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Not as I will, but as You will. And this is the essence of us learning obedience. It is us learning to put aside our will for the will of the Father. Right? So being a son, basically, it means that we have to put aside our own will for the will of the Father. Now, I don't think this is very difficult to understand, but it's not that easy to do. Why? Because our will can actually be quite different from our Father's will. What we want, what we desire for our lives can be very different from what God the Father wants of us. Now, if our will is just slightly different from what the Father wants, actually it's not very difficult to put aside our will to submit to His will. But the thing is that our will actually can be very different. So you see, even for Jesus Himself, in that very instance at least, what Jesus desired for Himself was totally different from what the Father desired for Him. How so different? Right? The Father wanted to allow Him to go through the suffering. But Jesus, right, actually didn't want to go through the suffering. As a human being, Jesus also faced, you know, the kind of fears, I believe, that we face. But He chose to put aside His own desires, to say that, God, actually I do want to suffer, right? But if You will want me to go through it, I put aside my own desires. That's basically what Jesus said. Alright, so we shouldn't be surprised if we ourselves recognize that our will is actually very different from that of God the Father's for our lives. Right? We shouldn't be surprised because Jesus Himself, alright, at one point of His life has will that's in sharp contrast to what God wanted for Him. But while we shouldn't be surprised, we need to be watchful. Because if we are not watchful, we might think that actually we are very in sync with God, right? And we end up disobeying Him, we end up going off tangent from Him without even realizing it. So I just want to pose all of us this question. Now take some time to think now, alright? Let's be honest with ourselves. How would you, right, consider yourself? How watchful are you in discerning if what you want is in sync with what God wants? Alright, let me repeat it. How watchful are you in discerning if what you want is in sync with what God wants? Right, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. Right, 1 being very negligent, 10 being very, very watchful. Now how would you rate yourself? Take a moment to think. Are you very watchful? You're constantly asking like, what am I wanting for my life? Is it in sync with God or not? Okay, you dare to tell me the answer. You just think of it yourself, alright? Whether it's 5, 10 or whatever. Right, take a moment to think. Because if we are not watchful, there's a real danger of us not even realizing it. Right, Jeremiah chapter 17. It says that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Why, who really knows how bad it is? So, it is for us to understand that the Bible tells us very clearly that we have a very deceitful heart. Right? Even when we think that we are always desiring what God wants, the truth is it might not be, because our hearts are very deceitful. So I just want to share with you something that will kind of help us, right, to even see whether we are watchful or not. Right? And that is, we can do something very simple, that is, you just reflect on the things that you actually pray for. Right? And if you find that it helps, maybe you can even start to record the things that you pray for. Why I say this is because that most of us, we actually struggle to pray. Right? And so that when we actually start to pray, right, when we are praying a little bit more, we think that actually we are doing very well. It's true that God's will is for us to pray, but just praying a lot doesn't necessarily mean that what we are praying about is God's will. Alright, so let me just give you a few examples. Right, some of us, we might be praying for our exam results. Right, we pray a lot, but we end up being disappointed when we don't get the grades that we want to. But without realizing that actually what God really wants may not necessarily be for you to get the kind of grades that you want to. Alright, what does God want? I don't know. It could be that all that God wants of you as His Son is just to do your very best. Right, not necessary that you must meet a certain mark. Right, or it could be that God just wants you to enjoy your journey as a student learning. Right, but I guess most of us, we never pray that we'll enjoy studying, right? We just pray for certain kinds of grades. Or some of us, right, maybe you're like me, right? You pray that God will make someone, right, of the opposite gender to fall in love with you. Right? You like this guy and you're just thinking to yourself, well, God, this is a very godly person. How nice, how wonderful it will be if you make him fall in love with me and then we can serve you together. I'm saying from a girl's perspective lah. Alright? So some of us, maybe we prayed like that, but we didn't realize that actually God's will might be something very different. God might have someone else in store for you. Or could be simply just that God wants that person that you're praying for to have a choice. Right? And if the person's choice is the one to be with you, then God honors it. Who knows? Right? Or some of us, maybe we have prayed for the rain to start or to stop. Many different things. Now one of the questions I've been asked before is that if two people, they were to pray for two different soccer teams playing against each other, now what would the score be? Right? I think it's easy for us to say that they end up drawing, right? But I think you kind of get my point. Right? It's really not about what you pray for. You might pray a lot, but if you're praying for the things that is not on God's heart, then you can't say that you are actually obeying God. You can't say that you are submitting to His will. And as a result, you realize that you are not growing in your relationship with God. And I do see, even for myself, many periods of my life where I spend hours praying for things which later on I ask myself, should I even be praying for these things? Maybe not. And I also evaluate myself and realize that I don't seem to draw any closer to God just by spending hours praying over those things. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless us. I'm also not saying that it is sinful to desire blessings. But what I'm saying is that, just to give us a reality check, that very often what we want is really so different from what God wants. Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So if you really think about it, our God is a God who sees things on a universal and an internal perspective. Contrary to us, right, most of the time we tend to see things from our own, right, more of a self-centered perspective, more of a temporal perspective. And God sees in a far greater way. Now, one of my favorite movies is this movie called Bruce Almighty. How many of you watched it before? Right, I'm sure you like the movie. And in that movie, we have Bruce, right, who was a very kind of small-minded, myopic person. And he's always wondering whether God is real, you know, and he'll just complain about life. And one day, by some chance, right, God decided, which God would never do, but in that movie, God decided to go on a vacation. So God entrusted the role of God to Bruce, and one of the tasks that Bruce got to do is to answer prayers. Now, he was at this place where he was just hearing a lot of voices in his head. So he says that, "Let all the prayers be compartmentalized in shelves." And then the whole room was just filled with shelves. Right? So he says, "Okay, never mind. Let all the prayers be in a computer form, alright, so he can download." But it just took like hours just to download the prayers. And then he has to answer the prayers. So he started out by answering them one by one. But later on, he kind of ran out of patience. So he decided to be generous. And he decided just to answer yes to all the prayers. Alright, the next morning when he woke up, what happened? For those of you who watched the movie, chaos, right? Total chaos on earth. So for us, we must come to this place to understand that we don't see things the way God does. Right? Sometimes I think about life, the earth, is just like a complex matrix of so many different people, you know, in a world that has been going on for so long and will continue to go on. Right? And it takes someone like God to be able to see what everyone else is doing, how everything can come into play. And out of that, he chooses, right, different things, different paths, different destiny, so to speak, for each one of us. So today, if you consider yourself a son of God, you need to know that God sees your life very differently from how you see it, right? And you shouldn't even compare yourself with others, because God has placed you, alright, in a particular place, in a particular time. He alone, alright, you may not know, I also don't know why you are born, right, in this place, why you are in this church. But God alone knows all the configurations. Perhaps some of us might be even wondering to God, "God, what exactly is your will for creating me, for example, with a disability?" You know, not all of us are born, right, perfect. Some of us might be wondering, "Why, God, did you create me like that?" But God, even in that, still has a plan and a purpose for your life, right? It's just that sometimes we are just so caught up with ourselves that we don't see it. So I just want to encourage all of us, alright, to take some time, maybe tonight as you go back, take some time to just reflect on whatever you have been praying. Right? If you have kept a prayer journal, right, maybe it's time just to really look through and ask yourself, is what you're praying reflective of what God wants for you? Now, other than just taking time for us to reflect on what we're praying for, I want to encourage all of us also to take time to be proactive, right, in seeking the Lord, asking Him to show you what is His will for your life. Because I want to say that, you know, it's actually very easy for us, right, to spend hours praying for ourselves when we have needs. But I want to encourage you, alright, spend most of your time seeking God instead of asking for needs. Right, focus on seeking what is God's will for your life rather than just coming to Him with a long list of needs. Because if you all you do is to want to ask God to meet your needs, right, you realize that the moment you have no needs in your life, you lose the motivation to spend time with Him. At least that was the case for me, alright, as a student, I realized that so many times during exams, I would just be praying intensely. But later on, I lose the motivation after my exams end. So I think that the majority of our time spent with God should be to seek His will. And when you know His will, you can know what to pray for. And when you know what to pray for, you can actually pray for those things in confidence, right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He'll hear us." So what does it mean to be a son? It means that we are watchful in checking if our will is in sync with God's. And it also means that we take time to proactively seek to know God's will. Seeking God's will, right? Something that maybe a lot of Christians, we find that it's just like very hard to grapple. How do you know God's will for your life? But I want to encourage all of us, look at the example of Jesus. There's something about Jesus that we need to see for tonight. And that is the kind of consistency that Jesus has in seeking God's will and in obeying God's will. Right, just to give you a few examples. In Luke chapter 2, right, verse 46, it was so after 3 days when he found him, right, this was Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. Right, he was sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. Right, asking questions about God. Right, so at 12 years old, right, all of us here are older than 12, right? Maybe we, at 12 years old, we are just, you know, doing all kinds of things, enjoying our life. But even at that young age, Jesus devoted his time to understand God. And then later on, right, verse 49, basically he was just saying, right, "Do you not know I have to be about my Father's business?" As a youth, Jesus committed to the Father's will. Alright, John chapter 4, it says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." John chapter 5, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing, nothing by Himself. He only do what He sees His Father doing." So Jesus did many things, but He never does anything that He thinks is good. He does what God tells Him to, right, which is the best, alright? John chapter 8, right, verse 28, right, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself," nothing of myself again, right? "But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." John chapter 14, right, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." And in his book, Lauren Cunningham's book, "Is That Really You, God?" If you have not read it, I want to encourage you to read it. It's a very simple to read book, right? You can finish it within just 2 hours. He says this, "If you seem to have lost your way, go back to the last time you knew the sharp cutting edge of God's word, God's voice. Then obey. The key question is, have you obeyed the last thing God told you to do?" Knowing God is really not some magical thing. If you have consistently lived your life the way like Jesus did, always seeking to know God's will, always obeying Him, not just so-called in some big decision that you're going to make, right? Like you're in a crossroads and then you start to ask God, "God, what should I do?" But even in the day-to-day, when you seek the Lord and when He shows you, or even when you're not so-called seeking, but just at a moment He shows you even things that you need to correct. When you learn to obey, that is how you grow in knowing His will. If there's any kind of disobedience in our hearts, we harden ourselves. Right, just now, Celine talked about hardenedness. If there is even just a little bit of disobedience, we harden ourselves. Maybe once, you feel that you can still hear God. Twice, thrice, many, many times. Thereafter, you are still God's son, you are still God's child. But you realize that you are no longer hearing. Because when we choose to disobey time and time again, we are hardening ourselves from hearing God. So tonight, if you forget everything that I've shared with you today, I just want to urge all of us to come to God with a very obedient heart. to come to God and say that, God, I want to commit my life to obeying you. Now I must clarify, if you are disobedient, you are still a child of God. Right? When you receive Jesus into your life, His blood has redeemed you. Right? You become a child of God. And there's nothing that can change that. In fact, even if you're not a Christian, God is also the one who created us. He's still our Father, right? Who watches over every aspect of our lives. But when you seek to obey Him, you realize that you'll enter into a very different level in your relationship with God. So when I encourage all of us, I'm not saying that, you know, God requires you to obey first before you realize that you are a child. But it should be something that flows naturally out of who you are. And that's what Jesus did. You know, Jesus really went to a great length just to demonstrate to us what it means to obey the Lord. Can you imagine if at that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, you know what, God, I think at this point of time, I just decided that I will not obey you. I've been obeying you all my life, but just this last part, you just give me a break, lah. What will happen? We will never have been here today, right? So I want to encourage all of us, come to this place of obedience. And I want to end off by sharing this. As I was just preparing this message, I felt very strongly that we need to look at Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect Son, and He's whom we should emulate to be like, even in His obedience. But I know that many of us, we might struggle in this whole idea of what does it mean to be a son. So I want to talk a little bit about our families, our biological families, and how it affects us even in being like Jesus, to be obedient to the Father. You see, I know that many of us, we are very estranged from our families. You might come from a relatively, you know, okay family, that people will think your family is okay, but even then, some of you, despite, you know, whatever people say, you might still feel estranged from your family. For all kinds of reasons, I do not know. And so we begin to talk about sonship. We look at what does it mean, right, for God to be our Father. You realize that this whole idea of God being our Father is actually a very foreign thing. Because on earth we have no sort of like models, right? If God is our Father and you look at perhaps your own relationship with your Father and you struggle because you know that you really struggle to obey your Father. Now it can be because of the fact that maybe your father really has been a very bad role model. But it could also be because of our perception. Right? And having grown up, right, with my dad around, I look back and I see the many times that I struggled because I look at my dad, I constantly see his shortcomings. And it's natural for us to do that. And even when I became a Christian, I still continue to do that, you know. It's only bit by bit that the Lord shows me that as imperfect as my dad is, He chooses to love me as best as He can. Which I know that many of your parents are like that as well. Maybe sometimes you question their actions, but behind their actions, their intentions are good. Maybe sometimes you all just have different kinds of opinions about what your life should be like. So as a result of the way that we perceive our relationships with our fathers, with our mothers, with different kinds of authority figures in our life, we also struggle to obey God. You don't know whether that God is truly a fair God. After all, God has so many children, right? If your parents seem to have favorites, why wouldn't God have favorites? Like maybe His favorite is Pastor Peter. Right, the rest of you are not favorite because Pastor Peter do more things in church, you know. Yeah, you might have that kind of perception that somebody somewhere is a favorite of God. After all, God, so many children, how big is God's brain exactly to be able to think about everyone, to be able to care for everyone at all times. And perhaps there are really instances that you go through in life whereby you feel as if God was not good to you. Now, just like I talk about this part, I say that some of us, maybe we pray for someone else to fall in love with us. I myself prayed something like that before. Right? And when that didn't happen, I also questioned God. Because things just don't go according to what we want all the time. And when you grow up in a family whereby you're very estranged with your parents, you constantly struggle with a sense of not being good enough. Maybe a sense of favoritism in a home. When you come to God, you face the same struggles. But tonight I choose to anchor my message talking about the example of Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect Son. And when you look at the perfect Son, it's like what he says, he is the way to the Father. You see the perfect Father through the perfect Son. So my encouragement to all of you is to come to this place where you choose to put the example of Jesus as your top priority. When you learn to be like him, those struggles you have may not disappear. You'll still continue to have those struggles. But when you learn to be like him, when you put him as your first priority to follow after his example, you begin to see more and more of how gracious, how loving, how unconditional the Father is. Because at the end of the day, like what I said just now, Jesus is really the way to the Father. There's no other way. Your dad, no matter how good it is, will not be the best representation. The best way you want to know the Father's heart is to look at the perfect Son, Jesus Christ, and to learn by him, learn to be like him. And when you learn to walk in obedience, this is what will happen. That one day you'll grow up. You all will grow up, right? One day you'll grow up. You have your families. You get married. You have your children. And you realize that now is your turn to exemplify to your children the Father's heart. While you're not perfect, but God can still use you. And if you live a life of obedience like what Jesus did, trusting the Father's will is the best for your life than what you think you have in mind, you realize that God can actually use you to help your children to know how good he is. And I believe that is the call of God over all your lives here, young people. You are young today, but one day you'll become parents. And then it will be your turn. So can I invite all of us just to close our eyes and take this moment to reflect on the life of Jesus. We are very familiar with what Jesus has done, I believe. And just allow the Lord to show you how much Jesus chose to put aside his own will. And to submit himself to the Father's will. As you continue to grow as a Christian, you realize that very often you are no longer struggling with a bad thing or a good thing. But sometimes what you are facing with, the choices you're going to make, is between something that seems good and something else that also seems good. And what God really wants is for us to trust that which he has in mind. Because a lot of things we want in life may seem good, but ultimately, what God wants for us is the best. That is the heart of a father. So I want you just to take this moment just to reflect on the life of Jesus. The extent of how much he decided to put aside his own will and to say that God
Not as I will, but as you will. I may have to go to the cross. I may have to be judged by all the world. I might be despised, rejected. I might even lose my life. But I still trust that whatever you have in store for me is the best. This is Jesus, the Son of God. With tears, with sweat that came like blood, he cried out to God. He cried out as much as he could for God to bring him on a different path. But yet at the end of the day, he knew God is good and he submitted. And now tonight, I do not know what kind of decisions they're going to make in your life. But I believe that some of us here, we are really in that situation that we are trying to discern what God's will is for our lives. But the message to you is very simple. Obey. Put aside whatever is your own desire. Come to God first. Ask Him to show you what He wants first. And trust that as you obey, your desires will follow along. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, tonight our heart's desire is to honor you. Our desire is to live every moment for you. And we just lay down our lives before you. Like Jesus, we thank you that we are your son. We are your child. And because we are your child, you have the best in store for us. Even though sometimes we might not understand it, but you have the best in store for us. So we choose willingly to lay down our lives before you. Thank you, Lord. Would you just stand and just invite you to join me to close with this song. And let it be a response from all of us. Say that, God, I will obey you. I'll put aside my own desires for yours.
This is my desire to all I have within me.
just want to give this time for us to respond. Now, if you know in your heart that you are struggling to disobey, you're struggling to obey the Lord, you live a life full of disobedience to Him, and tonight you're saying that, God, I want to come into obedience again, but you know that you are struggling to trust Him, tonight I just want you to respond by just walking out to the front and say that, Lord, I really struggle with trust, but yet I will take this step of faith to say that I will trust in your plans, your purposes for my life. Despite my struggles of trust, I will put my foot down and say that I will trust in you, that you are a good father, and that Jesus, you are the model that I can follow. I'm willing to go wherever you will lead me, even if it means to my own cross. If you want to turn from that disobedience by saying that, Lord, I will obey and I will trust, tonight I will just want to give you a chance to respond. Because if you want to, this can be the turning point of your life. Our life is not just to be so-called a nice Christian, but our life is to be sons who will trust and obey the Father. So tonight, if you know that that's you and you need to respond, as Marcus lead us, you just come forward, right? When we ask anyone to pray for you immediately, we'll just come forward as a stand to say that, Lord, I shall obey you and I will put my trust in you. Amen.
This is my desire to
to pray, you know, for those who are of you who are in the front. I just sense that the Lord Himself will minister to you. And I've got this word for you, those of you who are in the front. And this is your own Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus prayed, He prayed intensely. And He prayed that the Lord, you pray that the Father, you pray for the Father's will to triumph basically over his life. So I want you to follow even the example of Jesus right now, that where you are in the front, I'm not going to ask anyone to pray for you, but right now where you are, this is your own garden of Gethsemane. This is your own moment with the Father as his Son. Maybe some of you are really feeling a pain as if you're going through a crucifixion of your own. But this is the moment where you can cry out to the Father the way that the Lord Jesus himself cried out to him. This is the time that you have to offer up the things that you desire. It says, God, this is my desire. But not my own desires, but your desires. Would you, God, help me? So you pray right now, whether is it aloud or silently, you pray in the same way that you believe that Jesus has prayed to the Father. You pray right now and offer yourself to him. And even those of you who are still in your seats, you can do the same as well. If the Holy Spirit shows you that you need to have that Garden of Gethsemane moment with the Lord, the Father, now is the time for you to pray. Now is the time for you to wrestle and to offer, to overcome your own flesh and come to this place where truly the will of the Father will triumph in your life. Or would you just do that right now? Let's just take a moment to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And for those who resist, if the Lord impresses for you to pray for over some of the people in the front, just stretch out your hand wherever you are to pray for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, when we trust, Lord, we trust that when we come, Lord, to desire your will, that you'll hear us, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, the Lord is just revealing to you what your own desires are that is not of him. As he reveals, just surrender each of them to the Lord. Do not hold back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And as you do that, as you surrender, I believe the Lord is also speaking to you, showing you what his perfect plan for his life is, for your life is. And just begin to receive it by faith. Trust. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I offer you my life. Let's sing this. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer, and let this be your prayer. I just want to share a word that a brother wanted to share over all of you. I think this is from a song, right? Yeah. And this is also how the Lord is responding to each of you, His children. And He's saying to you, oh no, I will never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, I will never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, I will never let go. I will never let go of you. Children of God, the Lord will never let go of you. No matter what you go through in life, the Lord has never left you nor forsaken you. He is faithful, amen. Why don't we just stretch our hands in response to this word? And I'm just going to close this time by blessing all of us. And tonight, as you go from here, I just pray that all of you will respond to the Lord, the Heavenly Father, as a child of God, that you will learn to obey because you know that He is good. And then you know also that He has spoken over you, that He will never let go of you. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you are our Heavenly Father. And we just pray that God, that you will lead us. Tonight, many of us are coming back to this place where we are in a place like Jesus, a Garden of Gethsemane. We are struggling to put aside our will for your will. But yet tonight we know that you have revealed yourself to us as a good Father, O God. So we trust in you, even though it's hard at times to hold on, but we trust that your plans and purposes for our lives is for our good and for the good of everyone. And so Lord, we willingly lay aside ourselves and we say, Lord, this is our desire to honor you, to honor your will for our lives, God. Thank you, Lord. And all God's children say, amen, amen. Yes, why don't we just give God, you know, really that praise. The service is closed, but for some of you who are in the front, I believe the Lord has ministered to you, but if you feel that you really need someone just to be there, right, you have certain issues that you need prayer for, right, just stay where you are, all right, and the leaders who are around, why don't you just go to the people who are going to just stay for a while and just go up to them and pray for them, right? But for the rest of us, the service is dismissed, and I'll see you next week.